Welcome to Real Time with WLP. I'm Virginia Fairbank with Diversity and Communications at WLP. I'll be your host for this episode today. We are thrilled to have with us Christine Sakdalen. Christine is a VP of Customer Engagement Strategy and Solutions for Otsuka Pharmaceutical, as well as CEO of the nonprofit organization Momentum and Value for People of Color, or MVP. Today's topic, we will be discussing diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging as a catalyst for impactful change. Our objective with the podcast and what we hope our audience will take away are inspiring and practical tips to guide you to lead transformative change within your own organizations and even into your own personal lives. Okay, so let's jump right into it. Christine, can you share with us how you are embracing diversity and how do you ensure authentic diversity, equity, and inclusion pull through in the workplace?
Well, first of all, Virginia, thank you for having me here. And the way that I embrace diversity and show up as an authentic leader in the workplace is, for me, it starts with the mindset, which leads to intentionality in actions and decision-making, which then leads me as a leader to hold other leaders accountable. The other thing that I do on a practical level is that at Otsuka, I am an executive sponsor for our overall Otsuka DE&I initiative. Additionally, I'm also an executive sponsor for B1, as well as Inspiration. And these are the employee resource groups that we have at Otsuka. In addition to that, I also live DEI outside of the workplace, which I will highlight and speak about in the workplace as well. I founded an organization, like you said, called Momentum and Value for People of Color. And the way that we are helping young people of color is to help them prepare, perform, progress, and prosper in their early careers by providing them a network of mentors, internships, as well as practical advice through workshops.
It's fantastic. Sounds like incredibly impactful work that you're doing.
Thank you.
With MVPOC. So you spoke of the importance of mindset and intentionality in our actions and decision-making. So let's focus on some specific next. So what are some strategies that work well for immediate impact? And what are some strategies that are effective to sustain DE&I in the long term?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, overall, it has to start with leadership at the highest levels. And it is about having the right mindset, the right focus, the right ownership, but also making sure that at every level of leadership is driving accountability throughout the organization so that it transcends at every level. The other thing that works is the commitment from leadership and encouraging the participation in ERGs. I think it's important for employee resource groups to feel like it's a place where people can belong, where people can be heard, and where people can really make an impact. Being intentional by including employee goals that measure DEI is another way to make sure that this happens. And I think for people leaders, it's ensuring that they are practicing diversity, not only in recruiting and hiring, but also in the way that they're setting up interview panels. I think that we also need to think about changing recruiting, hiring, and interviewing practices across the board, as well as building new capabilities that further enable DEI to contribute to business impact. For example, how are the marketing teams practicing multicultural marketing tactics, or how are their communications becoming more culturally inclusive and relevant in terms of the way that they engage patients and customers in the healthcare environment? I also believe that supporting and encouraging the importance of community engagement and allowing time for employees to volunteer or contribute to causes that matter to them is incredible. For example, not that long ago at Otsuka, we had a kindness day, and it was a day off for all employees to show kindness to others and to volunteer. Another example is I was invited to speak about MVP to the Otsuka organization, And I enlisted people to come and volunteer as mentors for MVP. So these are things that I just think about that, you know, can promote inclusion and belonging in the workplace.
Yeah, it really shows how D&I can really be multifaceted throughout an organization. And I really like that piece about volunteering within the organization as well. I think that's a really important component so everyone can help experience DE&I. Okay, so this leads me to my next question then. So in order to help facilitate some of these actions that which you spoke of, so what do women leaders need to stay mindful of that may be the greatest contributing factor that impacts their ability to lead?
You know, I'll speak for myself as a woman leader, and I'm sure that other women leaders can relate to this, but you know, the biggest contributing factor that impact our ability to lead is sometimes our negative talk and self-doubt. You've heard of other women, you know, calling it an imposter syndrome. And I think that we need to really be intentional about not allowing that negative talk and that self-doubt to creep in, because if we let it, that's what's going to be top of mind. And that's going to impede our ability to lead and really be impactful. I also think that as women, we often underestimate the power that we have and the influence that we can have with other people, but also our own abilities. And it links to that self-doubt. And I think that sometimes when we are not intentional about taking a pause to think about what we're really good at and really the influence that we have, we can make this, it'll limit the way that we can impact our ability to lead. And maybe the last thing that I'll talk about, because I've seen this unfortunately in some organizations, is what I call the crab mentality with some women leaders. And what I mean by this is instead of other women pushing other women up, sometimes they take them down, right? And it becomes this competitive situation, which is not healthy. It's not productive. And unfortunately, you know, it just doesn't, it doesn't imbibe trust, right? So these are the things that I think about.
So what are some of the ways then at which we can help mitigate things like the crab mentality?
I think that we need to be vocal, more vocal than usual, but also leveraging our voice to amplify others, right? The more that we can positively amplify other women and other leaders, right? The more positivity that it will imbibe in any organization. I also think that choosing courage over comfort to help amplify the impact of others is a mindset that is helpful and meaningful as a leader to try and infuse in any culture. I also believe that living it every day and being a role model, even with my work with MVP, you know, especially with the young people that we try to impact, you know, we need to make sure that we are not just saying it, but that we're also living it. I think that part of what we need to do is be very intentional about recruiting and developing young talent of color through internships, through different kinds of special projects, and the way that we mentor them. I think that's just going to generate an incredible positive impact all across the board.
Absolutely. That's a round of applause for that. Absolutely. You're right in encouraging the youth to join in. That's going to help propel it forward, D&I. So it gets more ingrained and it has a sustainable future, which is wonderful. It's interesting about imposter syndrome. Like it's you hear about it a lot, mm-hmm. And it reminds me a bit of another WLP member shared similar advice, and she said, you know, we shouldn't be the first to reject ourselves, and it's. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad that we do it, that so many of us do it. So it's nice that it's getting addressed and we can be mindful of it so that we stop ourselves before it happens to us. So
no, for sure. But again, it's also about amplifying others, right? It's stopping the negative talk and then infusing that positivity to amplify others.
Exactly. Okay, so thinking from the audience point of view then, so if our audience of women leaders, they do want to get more involved in D&I, how can we draw from your expertise for how you particularly advocate for diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging in a meaningful way as a leader?
I think, like I said before, you know, it is about using your voice and your influence to amplify others. Mm-hmm. It's taking risks and choosing courage over comfort to amplify others. And I know that's easier said than done. But that to me is how, you know, we can be more impactful as women leaders and just really truly living it every day. It's easier said than done, but I think that the more that we negate this, the negative talk, the more that we turn to, you know, to positive avenues, right, to encourage others and to let others shine through the work that you do yourself, I think it just, it creates that positive ripple effect. I really, really believe that.
Me too. Well, thanks for summarizing that. Okay, so to wrap up our discussion here, so how about we shine a light on areas that need improvement for real sustainable change? So in your opinion, what would you like to see in the pharmaceutical industry regarding DE&I?
I think that we need to see more opportunities to highlight and amplify diverse leaders and their impact. I often see people that don't look like me or sound like me. And I wonder of other people of color if they feel the same way. And the more that we kind of see ourselves in the way that organizations are highlighting leaders that look and sound different and think different, I think that's going to help tremendously in terms of how, you know, we can see improvements in the pharma industry so that it's not the same story over and over again. I also believe that creating close networks and affinity groups across companies and even industries is one way to cross-pollinate. It's one way to really enhance your perspectives. You know, it's one way to, you know, to really be able to expand your diversity of thought. And it allows you to, you know, get to know other people in other industries and other companies.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much that can be done. And I like how you've helped explain from the hiring, how D&I can be transcended into an organization from the onset, from the hiring right through to the pull through. So thank you. So Christine, I would like to enthusiastically thank you for the work that you've been doing in D&I within our pharma industry and with MVP, and for sharing your expertise with our WLP listeners today. I hope that the audience will walk away feeling inspired as I have and have some practical actions so that they can help continue to propel DEIMB as a catalyst for impactful change.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Thanks. And to our audience, thank you for listening to Real Time with WLP. We hope you enjoy this episode and will listen in with future guests. To stay up to date with WLP, follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and consider becoming a member to join our powerful and inspiring network by visiting Women Leaders in Pharma to learn more. Thank you.